Well, it is my pleasure to be with you. It's been great to be with your church this past weekend with all the guys. And man, I've come to love your pastor and the men of this church. What a great church. And what an encouragement to see children and students leading us this morning, taking up the offering and then also playing the piano. That is just amazing. And so it's been my blessing to be here today. Choir singing in parts, very impressive choir. So that was very impressive to hear that. And so very pleased to be with you guys this morning. My name is Neil, and I am just Neil. I am nobody. And so Neil is my name, but I actually already work for you. You may not know this, but when you send messengers to the annual meeting and you partner with other Missouri Baptist churches, you send messengers from this church, and at that annual meeting, they elect a president, and that president appoints a nominating committee, and that nominating committee appoints trustees who hire presidents like me. So you are my boss's 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 boss or something along those lines, all right? And so I want you to like me, and I want to do a good job for you, and I'll do my best to stay within the time constraints of which I've been given, because I told the guys, though I didn't actually do it, but I told the guys, if you can't be good, be brief. And if you can't be both, then be brief, if you only have the option to be one. So I will try to do that. But it is my pleasure to be here. And just so that you know, the Missouri Baptist Foundation has been around since 1946. And what we do is we manage money for ministries and churches just like yours. In fact, I think we manage some of your money for you. And then we also talk to people about being generous and how they can utilize their resources to advance the gospel. So we do money management for ministry and possibility planning for people. So one of the things that we do is we talk to people about their wills, about their trust, about their estates, and how they want to make sure they leave things well for their family. And I've got information at a table in the back on the way out to the parking lot in the back. And if you have interest in knowing more information about that, if you'll just fill out a card and you can have us talk to you about these things, there's no charge, there's no obligation. I'm not trying to steal your money or anything like that. But these issues of wills and trust are really, really important. I know that none of you have an IAC in your life. But you know people who do. What is an IAC? An IAC is an irresponsible adult child. Now, I know none of you have those, but you know of people who do. And if you were to leave them your estate and it all went in one pot for them at one time, well, it may not really go well for them. But you also maybe don't have anybody that can manage your affairs for you, and you need some help with that. Maybe you've got farmland and you've got a couple of children, and one's a farmer and one's not a farmer, and you're not sure what's going to happen to all that. We come alongside and help you accomplish what your purposes are. And so please know that you've got friends in that kind of realm and area. And so if you don't have a will or a trust or an estate plan, let me assure you, if you don't have one, you do. The state has one for you. And you can trust them with your tax money, so I'm sure they'll do great with all your stuff, right? But if you're a little concerned about that, then please reach out to us. And I oftentimes run into people who talk about, hey, well, I'm young, I don't need a will. Hey, listen, the most valuable thing you have are your children. And if you don't have a plan for your children, the state has a plan, and it may not be your plan. So these are things that are important that we don't talk about much in church, and so I want to at least remind you that we are just down in Jefferson City. Our offices are down there, and we're here to help you. But I'm not going to talk about any more about that, because we're going to talk about something that's even scarier in church, and that is today we're going to talk about money. Now, I know you're not supposed to talk about money or sex in the church. I know you're not supposed to talk about either one of those, but I'm just going to talk about money today, because money is lying to you. And what we want to talk about are the lies that money tells us. Because that good-looking guy right there on that $100 bill, Pastor, this is a $100 bill. I don't know if you've ever seen one of those or not, but this is what they make these. In fact, I made this one myself just this morning to be ready for what's going on today. But this guy with the receding hairline right there, you may not realize it or not, but that guy right there is lying to you. And if you're not careful, you'll believe the lies that he tells you. And we're going to talk about some of those lies today, and we're going to talk about money. But here's what I want you to know. I'm not going to try to get any of your money today. I'm not interested in your money. I'm interested in my money, and I bet you're interested in your money. And Jesus talked a lot about money. In fact, he talked more about money than he did about heaven or hell combined. And yet somehow we don't really think about money, or we don't really talk about it. So today I'm not after your money. So I've seen already some guys, as soon as I talk about money, they put their hand on their back wallet right here, making sure I don't get any of it. Well, I'm not after it. In fact, I was at one church and I saw a guy almost leap over his wife to cover her purse. And I asked him afterward, why did you do that? And he said, well, that's where she keeps all my money for me. And I didn't want you to get any of my money out of her purse. And so I assure you, I'm not going to do that today. But I am going to talk about some lies that money tells us. Because it's not just this guy. It's all of his other friends that tell you lies day after day after day. And we're going to talk about four lies that money tells us. We're going to do that in the scripture. So if you got your Bibles, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 through 21. It's a passage you're probably familiar with. And we're going to talk about how money lies about its value and how it lies about your value. We're going to talk about the money lies that money tells us that are just not true. And so in order to understand what truth is, we need to go to the source of truth, and that is the scriptures, and identify what the scriptures teach us about money so we can identify the lies that money tries to tell us that maybe some of you have bought into. Maybe some of you are believing that today, and I want to help you unbelieve some of the lies that money tells us. Here's what Jesus said about money. He says, "Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth," Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21. "Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Money lie number one, lie that money tells you, is that your value is in your net worth. That's what money tells you. Money tells you in this culture, in this society, that your value is tied to how many of these you have in your account or in your accounts or in your estate or in your property. That's the lie that it tells you. In fact, here's the first part of that lie. It says that if you have little money, then you're only worth a little. And maybe some of you feel that way. Maybe some of you feel the way that because you have more month at the end of your money, that somehow you feel like you are not as valuable as other people. I didn't really understand this. I grew up middle class. My parents were educators. And I didn't really realize how we really categorize people based on their resources. Several years ago when I did pastor a little church in Branson, we did something called the Back to School Bash, and we had this idea that we were going to give away backpacks filled with school supplies for children in our community. We were going to do it not on our campus, but we were going to do it at the major recplex, which had all the swimming pools and the slides and all that kind of stuff. And we decided that we were going to do this on a Sunday afternoon. And we decided somehow every year we were able to pick the hottest Sunday afternoon of the year. And so this particular Sunday afternoon, it was like 3,000 degrees outside. And we're going to start this thing, and we're going to start it at 5 p.m. Well, after preaching, I did what every good pastor does. I took a nap. And so when I finally got out there and all the people had everything set up and all the hard work had been done, I show up at 3 o'clock. And when I get there at 3 o'clock, there are a line of people already lined up waiting for their backpacks and school supplies. And I couldn't believe it. This is not really the picture of that. This is a little bit not quite as long as that. But I went out there at 3 o'clock, and I began to go back to every person and say, "Excuse me, I don't think you understand, but we're not going to start until 5. And it's 3,000 degrees out here, and so we've got plenty of backpacks. You should just go home, find a shade tree, or do something else, because you're going to die out here." And they go, "No, we're fine. We'll be fine." I'm like, "You don't understand. I guess I'm not speaking English because I don't think you really understand this or not. But it's like 3,000 degrees out here. It's going to be 2 hours in the sun that you're going to stand in line for a backpack of school supplies. We have plenty. Why don't you go home and do something else?" And they go, "No, we're fine." It began to dawn on me. This is a group of people who have always been told to go stand in line. That's what they tell them. You go stand over the line, go over there, when you wait long enough, we'll get to you later. And they were willing to stand in line for hours for a backpack. Now, I grew up middle class. I wouldn't cross the street for a free backpack if it's more than 72 degrees outside. But they had been conditioned and they had been taught that they weren't worth anything and their time was not valuable and they would go stand there. It just blew my mind away. Because some people think that their value is tied into that and they can be treated that way. The amusement parks know that those of us who are middle class, that we don't like standing in line, right? So we pay a gazillion dollars to go into the amusement park and then they'll offer us a fast pass or a lightning lane or something else that if we'll pay a little bit more money so that we don't have to stand in line. That's how we are, but a lot of people, they just admit and expect to stand in line because they have been told that since they don't have a lot of these, that they're not really valuable. But I want you to know that is not true. Your value is not in your net worth. Your value is the fact that you bear the image of God in your soul. And if you show up here today and you don't have a dime to your name, or you drive the worst vehicle out there possibly, we want you to know that you are welcome here and that your value is not in the stuff that you have. It's the value that you are in bearing the image of God, and you are welcome here. Never be ashamed of what you don't have when you come into the church house. Don't be afraid or ashamed of what you're wearing when you come into this place, because your value is not in those things. In fact, the Proverbs teach us this. It says this: do not rob the poor because he is poor, or crush the afflicted at the gate, for the Lord will plead their cause and rob of life those who rob them. You think Matlock is a good attorney. You think that Perry Mason was a good attorney. Well, imagine that God himself, Jesus himself, it pleads the case of the poor. And so if you don't have a lot of these, please don't buy the lie that your value is little. But on the other hand, you also need to recognize that the money says the other thing as well. It says that your value is just a little if you have a little, but it also says that your value is a lot if you have a lot of these things. And that's also not true. That's the second part of the first lie. I have a family member in my life who has done really well in life. And occasionally, he will email me and say, hey, would you like to go on a cruise? And my answer is always yes. Now, why is my answer always yes? Well, because he pays for the cruise. And so when he pays for the cruise, I don't care where I'm going. I don't care when I'm going. I'm just going. In fact, I've got my phone here just in case he were to email me while we're talking today so that I can reply yes, because that's my answer. But the most amazing thing about what he does is that he flies me something called business class. And I don't know if you've heard of business class or not, but in business class, they have seats the size of human beings. Very shocking. You didn't know this, had this on the plane. And they usually put you up front there, and then they got this little curtain that they close so people like you and me can't see the people there in business class. And I love flying business class. In fact, one of our cruises that he took us, we flew from Dallas to Sydney. It was a 19-hour direct flight, and it was glorious in business class. Because you see, when you get in business class, they say, Mr. Franks, we're so glad that you're here today. And we're like, well, of course you are glad that I am here today. Is there something that we can help you with, Mr. Franks? Yes, I would like so-and-so. Oh, we'll be happy to bring that to you. They actually have real knives in business class. I don't understand how they can do that or how they got that past TSA, but somehow, even in that area. But the most amazing thing there is that your seat doesn't just go back a little bit. Your seat goes all the way back. In fact, they brought me a little cushion cover thing to put on my business class seat. And for 19 hours, I enjoyed all of the wonderfulness. In fact, I was very surprised. Because just as we got taken off there in business class, they brought out pajamas for all of us to change into in business class. Now, I will tell you, and I told the men last night, the night before, that I grew up in L.A., Lower Arkansas, okay? And in Arkansas, we don't wear our pajamas in front of anybody unless we're going to Walmart. And then it's a special occasion at that point, right? But I'm sitting around there in business class thinking I'm somebody, and I'm looking around and everybody else is wearing their pajamas, so of course I got to take my pajamas and put them on, and so we're all sitting in business class in pajamas because we're special. But it dawned on me that it had nothing to do with my specialness that caused me to be in that circumstance. It was somebody else that paid my way. They weren't interested in me. They were interested in the payment. By the way, that'll preach, too. You don't get in heaven because of anything that you've done or how special you are. You get in because somebody paid your way to get in there, and his name is Jesus. And if you've never trusted him, you should trust him today. And it doesn't matter how little you have or how much you have. In fact, the scriptures go on, has something to say to those who think that they're somebody because they've got a lot of money. The scripture says this to them. It says, and as for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty. If you don't know what haughty is, look it up and Google it. Charge them not to be haughty nor to set their hopes in the uncertainty of riches, but on God who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. You see, if you are rich, your value is not in being rich. Your value is that you also bear the image of God. And one day we will stand in front of him, whether we've got a lot or a little, and we're going to get in not because of anything we've done or anything we've had. All we're going to get in to do is because of what Christ has done for us. That's the first lie, that your value is tied to how much of this you have. Second lie, that money tells us that money is valuable and it goes up in value. That's the second lie. Second lie is this, that money is valuable and it goes up in value. What do I mean by that? Well, some of you remember some things, and so let me see how well you remember. How many of you remember when gasoline was less than $2 a gallon? Anybody remember less than $2 a gallon? Yeah. I drove by, and somehow in mid-Missouri, there must be some kind of cartel or something, because gas is like 60 cents more expensive in mid-Missouri than any place else in the state. And so if you're a part of that, I'd like to talk to you about a donation at the end of the service. But it's pretty expensive. I think it's $3.18, $3.19, $3.20. But how many of you remember when gasoline was less than a dollar a gallon? Okay, wow, okay. We got some mature people here among us this afternoon. How many of you remember when gasoline was less than 50 cents a gallon? Less than 50 cents a gallon. Wow, my goodness. How many of you remember gasoline less than 25 cents a gallon? Oh, my goodness. I was at a church one time, and a guy says, I remember 11 cents. That's how much we paid. And, of course, there's always somebody to top that guy. And he's like, well, I don't remember how much gas was, but I remember how much a bale of hay was to get my mule to town. And so I'm like, okay, fine. Fine, sir. You win. You win. You win. Now, let me ask you a question. Has a gallon of gas changed over that amount of time? Not really, not supposedly. In fact, there's a sticker on your little gas pump out there that it's somebody's job, and this sounds like a great job to me, but apparently it's somebody's job to drive around the state and to pour out a gallon of gas and put a sticker on that and go, yep, this one works. It'd be a great job some days, wouldn't it? But what he's trying to tell us is that a gallon has not changed all that time. What has changed over that time is not the gallon being a gallon, but it's what? The buying power of this. It's called inflation. In fact, the government is trying to get to you to lose 2% of the value of your dollar every year, and they can't seem to get that right. They're a little hotter than that because that's inflation. In fact, some of you, if you were told when you were a little kid how much money you would have today, you would have thought that you'd have been the richest person in the world, and yet you're still trying to struggle to make ends meet. That's what happens to money. Money doesn't go up in value, it goes down in value. In fact, there's coming a day when this dollar is going to be worth absolutely nothing to you. Did you know that? There's coming a day, this is going to be worth nothing to you, because they do not take the U.S. dollar in heaven. They don't. Neither do they take it in the other eternal destination in case that's your backup plan. Not a good backup plan, but they're still not going to take it. And the value that we place on these things, thinking it's going to go up and putting our trust in here, is a lie that you and I know when we really think about it, but we just don't really think about it very often, do we? Because one day it's going to be worth absolutely nothing. And that's what Jesus is trying to warn us. Back to the passage, Matthew chapter 6, I haven't forgotten. It says, do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth. That word for lay up is the same word for treasures in the Greek, similar word. And what it means is, do not treasure for yourself treasures on earth. What is a treasure? A treasure is something that you overvalue. Is something that's worth more than what it actually is worth, but you treasure it, you value it. My wife occasionally will want to do a garage sale, and I can't handle a garage sale. When she wants to do a garage sale, I have to leave town for the weekend. Now, I know some of you ladies and men love to go sailing, and that's wonderful that you do. I can't stand it, because here's what happens at the garage sale. A person comes by, and something that I paid $50 for, I put a sticker on for a dollar, and they offer me a quarter for it. It feels like I've done something wrong somewhere along that way, right? So I can't handle it. But there are some things that you treasure more than what you should. In fact, some of you ladies wish that your husband would touch you like he touches his motorcycle, because he cares so much for that, or his boat, or his tractor, or whatever it is, because he treasures those things more than what he should. And that's what Jesus warns us. Do not over-treasure these things. Do not treasure for yourself treasures on earth, because it's risky. That's what he's saying. He's saying it's risky. He says moths can break in and chew up whatever it is. I don't know about you, but moths are some of the smartest animals, because they either get the most expensive thing in the closet, or they get your favorite thing in the closet. I don't know how they know how to do that. I don't have many moth problems in my closet. My problem with my closet is it shrinks all my clothes. I don't know if you have that problem or not. But he says it's risky to treasure all of your treasures here, because there's risk. Moth can come for it. Rust can come for it. Thieves can come in and break in and steal. You remember the days you didn't even lock your doors, right? You remember those days. You didn't even lock your truck. In fact, you drove to school in truck and you got your shotgun in the back of your truck. You would never do that today. Because all of these things are risky. He's not saying it's bad. He's saying there's something better. Because notice he says, do not treasure for yourself treasures on earth, but treasure for yourself treasures in heaven, because there are no moths in heaven. I'm going to go out on a limb and say there's no mosquitoes either. I don't know if I can defend that or not, but I'm hoping there's no mosquitoes in heaven. And there's no rust in heaven. And there's no thieves who are going to break in and steal, because there are no thieves. Well, there are thieves, lest some of us might not get in. But there's going to be reformed thieves in heaven who are not going to be stealing anymore. He's not saying it's bad to have stuff. He's not saying it's bad to have money. He's just saying there's something that's better. Let me see if I can illustrate. I need a volunteer. No, he's going to say no. I tried to get a volunteer over here. He said no. I need a volunteer, but I need a volunteer who likes chocolate. Is there a volunteer who likes chocolate? Do you like chocolate? Yeah, sure. Come on. We don't mind coming up here. Come on up here. I know this is what happens every week. And so you like chocolate. You said you like chocolate, so I'm going to have you stand over here. And if I said that you like chocolate and I gave you this, how would you feel about that? Because what is that? It's a rock. Yeah, that's a rock right there. And so I asked you if you like chocolate, and then I hand you a rock. Would that be bad?
I guess.
Yeah, it would be bad. Wouldn't you think that's bad if I gave that to you? But what if you came up here and I gave you some chocolate? How about that? Would that be bad?
No,
this would be bad. That's not bad. Is that better than this? It's not a hard question. Yes, it is. That is better than this, right? That's good. Okay. Because this is bad. You understand bad? This is a rock, for those of you who are way back there. This is a rock, and I gave him a piece of chocolate, right? So bad, right? Got it over there? Better, right? Okay. Is that true?
Yeah.
You agree with that? Okay. Let me ask you this question. What about this?
That's pretty good, too.
Okay. So this is bad, right? That's better. But this is even better than that, right? Yeah, would you like to trade? I'll trade you that one, and you give me that one back. Okay, perfect. Great, thank you. That's a good job. That's it.
Do I get to keep the rock?
No, this is my rock. You can't have the rock. But you might have left a little too soon. I know. Come on back up here. Would you rather trade? Okay, I thought you might. Sometimes. Because, again, this is bad. Agreed, right? This is not bad. That's better. But isn't this better than that?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Anything else in the bag?
You don't know. You want to check, huh? That's a good question. No, that's all I've got in the bag on this time for there we go. You're right. You're getting smarter, though. You got anything else in that bag for me, right? And just let you know, Jesus always has something better in his bag than what you think. The problem is not that we have such high hopes. Our problem is that we have such low hopes. And we accept the things of this world, and we're going, oh, this is awesome. And we don't really realize God's got so much for us if we will trust him. Because the things that we think are good, there's actually something better than what even we think is good. Because notice what he says in the end part of that. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. See, it's not bad to have stuff. The problem is when stuff has you. And when you treasure this, you're going to miss out on the ultimate treasures, because he can't fill your heart with his love and his care and his concern if you filled it with this kind of stuff. Again, he's not trying to keep you poor and try to keep you from having stuff. That's not the goal. He just doesn't want all that stuff to have you. He's got something better if you'll see and if you'll know. Here's the third lie. The third lie is this. The third lie is that money is the problem. Money is never the problem. Money's not the problem. Money is the problem, only that your idols are the problem. What do I mean by this? The problem is not money. The problem is that money is what your idols demand tribute from. See, some of you don't understand why you can't buy that next dress and you can't buy that next set of clothes. It's because your idols demand you to look a certain way, because that's where your value is. And so when you go to that store and you see that sale, you have to buy it. It's not about the money, it's about your status. That's why, guys, sometimes when the new car comes out, the new truck comes out, the new model comes out, you can't help but buy it because it is what you are demanding, because that's how you get your status. For me, it's right the opposite. See, I like to save money. I like to put money away for retirement. That's what I really like to do. But just recently, my wife and I celebrated our 30th anniversary, and I asked her, honey, what would you like? And she said, I would like a ring. And I'm thinking to myself, that's the dumbest thing you could possibly want. We are trying to save for retirement. We're trying to buy a house. I need to get you a new car. Can I buy you a new car? No, I don't want a new car. I want a new ring. And I thought to myself, that's the dumbest thing that you could ever want. Now, what I said was, let's get you a ring. That's what I said. Because I've been married for 30 years. But what I was thinking was, this is the dumbest thing because we got all these other needs, because my value is not in stuff. My value is in security, and it's hard for me to give up my stuff. Now, I did eventually buy the ring, only after I found that I had some reward credit points that was some money that was going to go away that I was going to lose unless I bought the ring. And so I paid for half of the ring with that, so I still am recovering in my idols. But money's never the problem. The problem is your idols. Your idols demand. My idols demand. Don't spend money because you need to save it, because that's where your security is. I don't know where your idols are, but money's never the problem. Money is the tribute your idols demand. And here finally and fourthly, the problem is, though, the lie is that money doesn't have eternal value, when in fact, money can have eternal value. About 7 years ago, I went into this role. Scripture says, but treasure for yourself treasures in heaven. How do you treasure treasures in heaven? Well, you have to think about what's going to heaven. About 7 years ago, I took over this role on your behalf, working for you, and I went to a university, and I was passing out a scholarship. And it was the Mary Gibbs Scholarship. And I gave money to this student, Lexi, and I shook her hand and said, Lexi, congratulations, you've got the Mary Gibbs Scholarship, congratulations. And she was a first-generation African-American student going to college. Nobody in her family had ever gone to college, and she's able to go to college because Mary Gibbs had gave a scholarship. And so I didn't know anything about Mary Gibbs, so I went back to my office and looked it up, and sure enough, because I wasn't sure if Mary Gibbs was okay with me giving her money away, because I had just done that. I didn't know anything about her. So I went back to the office, looked it up, and sure enough, when Mary Gibbs died, she left some money to send kids to college, Christian college. Did you know you can do that? You can put a little bit in your estate, either 10%, or you can have a third child. Maybe you have two kids and you have a third child called charity, and all the stuff that you've been supporting while you're alive, you can actually give and leave something to those things, because the church becomes dependent upon your giving while you're giving, and when you die, the giving stops, and the ministry is in danger of stopping. Or maybe you want to put that money and invest it in over time, because you can double that money over time without expending it. Maybe one of those kids doesn't need all that money at one time. But I went back and I looked up, and Mary Gibbs, when she died, gave money, left some money in her estate to send kids to college. And do you know what was amazing? You can do that. And what I get to do is travel around and try to get lots of people to do that and pool that money together and continue to advance it. You could actually do that. And one of my goals is for 10% of every church membership to leave 10% of their estate to their local church to continue. Don't you realize there are people here in the early 1900s that made sacrifices so that we can meet in this room today? What sacrifices will we make in the future? But the most amazing thing about Mary Gibbs is that Mary Gibbs died in 1923. 100 years later, she's still sending kids to college. She's done more financially for the kingdom of God from heaven than she ever did from earth. And that's the power of money when we think about the possibilities that we have. So, let me ask you, are you buying the lies that money's telling you? Do you think you're only worth a little because you only have a little of this? Or do you think that you're worth a lot because you have a lot of those things? Truth is, your value is not tied to this. Your value is tied that Jesus Christ died for you. That's where your value is. Value is only what somebody's willing to pay, no matter what the appraisal says. And Jesus went to the cross for you. Do you think that this is going to go up in value? Oh, you're facing the wrong direction. Is this where your treasury is? It's risky. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Some of you have had a 401k and then it's been a 201k. It happens, doesn't it? Our trust and hope is not in the things of this world, but it's in the things that Christ has and the things that we have for all of eternity. And you have the opportunity that when you go and don't need these anymore, you can leave something behind to advance the gospel. What a blessing it is to hear the truth and to know the truth, because God has left us the truth. How foolish it would be for us not to listen or follow or believe for what Christ has given us. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes this morning? I wonder, do you know this Christ that I've talked about? Have you trusted him? Have you made him the Savior and Lord of your life? If you've never done that, then today you can do it. You can just repent and believe. The Bible says just change your mind, change your direction. This church would love to welcome you into its fellowship and into its family. All you have to do is to repent and believe. Maybe you've got an unhealthy relationship with stuff. It's nothing bad to have stuff. I hope you have stuff. I hope you have a lot of stuff. But I hope that stuff doesn't have you. Maybe today is a moment to start that way. Or maybe you've got some decisions to make for your family, to protect your family and to ensure for them their future. So if something happened to you today, are they prepared? Whatever decision that you need to make that would be honoring to Christ today, I invite you to do that. For he alone is worthy of the praise and the glory. For he is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. We ask these things, Father, in your Son's name. Amen.